So, Book of Jonah. What I want to do tonight, since this is the last one pertaining to this semester, is in my searching, and I'll just be real honest with you, in my searching, it has gotten to the point where he's bringing together all these different subjects that he's been sharing with me and then I've been sharing with you. I mean, for example, the breach and the sufferings of Christ and, you know, some of the things that we're going to be talking more and more about in Jonah, and it's just like all blending together. And so tonight I'd like to share the blend a little bit with you. And so let's turn to Jonah chapter 3, verse 6. And while you're turning there, I'd like to say, Sharon, I'm glad you and your hubby are doing better and well. We've been praying, and I've been praying particularly. So God bless you, and thank the Lord that you're coming out of it, and we love you so much. All right, Jonah, chapter 3. Verse 6, starting with verse 6. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robes from him, and he covered him with sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Okay, so you have an incredible plea from the king. And they followed through. They heard from the Lord. They humbled themselves in this fashion before the Lord. I thought the next verse was incredibly interesting, because Jonah was looking for, you know, he's looking for them to be punished for their evil, right? He's not really looking for them to repent. He's looking for them to be punished for their evil. But verse 10 says, And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. All right. So you've heard that before in the Word. God repented, or God turned from his wrath, or whatever. I just thought, kind of incredible words there. I mean, you have this movement of God, and he's moving among the Ninevites, and the king, all the way up, you know, to the king, and down to the beasts and the animals, and all of that, and they're crying out to God, and I mean, God's repenting, but who's he repenting to? You know, but, I mean, he's soft-hearted, you know, in that sense. Okay, and then the very next verse, okay. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Okay, note the word displeased Jonah. We have a displeased Jonah on our hands here. Okay, and not only that, but he is displeased exceedingly, exceedingly. And he was very angry. He wasn't just angry, he was very angry. Okay, does it sound like anybody you know? I'm just checking. No. So you've got this incredible movement of God, and in the midst of it, you got somebody who's incredibly not in tune. Amen? All right. So what's going on here? Well, Jonah misread God. He misread God. Let's just say it's a common failure, really, among Christians, is that we think we understand what the Lord wants or how he's moving or what he's saying, and then we end up missing it. And it's easy to miss it if pro-self is in the forefront. I mean, that's all there is to it. And also it's easy to miss it if you misunderstand the sufferings of Christ. You know, I think about Gideon, and Gideon said, God came to Gideon and said, you know, basically you're going to lead this army and you're going to bring deliverance. And he said, you know, well, how can there be this? Because where's all the miracles and where's all this stuff? And looking at God like, well, you have to do, you know, you have to jump through our hoops to do this, instead of letting him finish what he's talking about. pro-self, misunderstanding the sufferings of Christ, and then if you've been breached, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it, okay? So Jonah, of course, thought that he knew God had sent him with a message, but he thought that God had sent him with a message of vengeance and judgment. All right? And that's going to be what it is. This is, thus saith the Lord, this is what it's going to be. Okay? Therefore, he was shocked when God repented of the evil he was going to do. And he's saying, what is this? You know, that's not the message you told me. They're all repenting and nothing bad's going to happen to them. Nothing bad's going to happen to them. Nothing bad's going to happen to them. This is wrong. Nothing's bad. Nothing bad is going to happen to them. This is wrong. Okay? So, I wrote, pro-self arose in Jonah. Judgments against God were made, and he sided with the breach master. Okay, now how many of us even know when we do that? I don't think he did. I don't think he really knew that. I don't think he fully comprehended that. But it's pretty obvious when everybody around you is soft and you're hard. Amen. Come on. I mean, that the contrast in the scriptures is amazing. Wow. So he thought that his preaching, another thought with Jonah was, he thought that his preaching was going to bring glory to him. And it ended up bringing gloomy. And really, and I don't want to get off on this, but it's really good. It was the king's speech that brought glory to God. Anyway, that's something for y'all if you, you know. But this other side, oh, for gaining glory. Oh, gaining glory. We need the King Awesome to, you know, show up and show us what that's really like. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your character. Or am I talking about? I don't know. Only the Lord would know that. But I mean, there is this thing. There is this thing with glory, and it's deep in the breached. Can I get amen?
Yeah.
It is deep in the breached. So let's go to John chapter 5. And I want to see this in some very, very, very familiar scriptures to those of us who are of this persuasion of Christ crucified and of searching the scriptures. And usually, and again, what we're going to read is a bunch of misreading. Just like Jonah misread God. He misread God. He misread what was going to happen. He was not in tune. And when the whole world around him was in tune, he was very angry. Okay? So John chapter 5, let's start at verse 33. It's dealing with self-exaltating, okay? Self-exalting. And Jesus is speaking to those particularly about self-exalting, okay? And he's also talking to those who are receiving those who declare themselves. Receiving those who declare themselves, okay? So, I wrote down, regardless of what people say, to receive those who declare themselves is wrong. I mean, it's wrong to declare yourself. It's great. That's greater. Okay. But we're not going to make way. Jesus isn't. Here's the deal. Wait till we get in these scriptures. Jesus isn't going to make way for it. He's not. He's going to not make way for it. And if we're going to be true to Jesus, then and I'm not just talking about in ourselves. I'm talking about in others. Because you can tell when it rises. I mean, could you tell when it rose with Jonah? Exceedingly, very angry. All this stuff, all this angst, all this fuming stuff going on. So John 5:33 says this. Or 33, I'm sorry. You sent unto John, this is John the Baptist, you sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, okay? Now, Jesus is not saying, he bore witness unto me. He did. That's all he did, right? He said, there's one coming after me, he's greater, I'm not worthy, da-da-da-da, all that kind of stuff. But Jesus says he bore witness unto the truth because he doesn't want to identify himself. He doesn't want to make it about himself. And not only that, but he goes on to say, verse 34, but I received not testimony from man. And then the next couple of verses, he's going to basically be saying, but you should have listened to John the Baptist. But it would be wrong for him to say, look, he bore witness of me, and you should have been, you know, paying attention to him about me. But he has such a way, and it's not a cloaked pro self. it's the Spirit of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of, you know, the way the Lord showed that to me, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's love. God is love, and that's love, and that's how they love, by loving the other. Okay, so, but these things I say that you might be saved from the breach master. See, from the breach master. Verse 35, talking about John. He was a burning and shining light. Doesn't that sound familiar to something that we've talked about? Children of light. And the environment of light that the Father wanted to have with sons in the image of Christ. So, he was a burning and shining light. Okay, but why was he a burning and shining light? Okay, we say, well, because he was a really good preacher, or because he really knew how to dunk people during water baptism, or stuff like that. No, I wrote because he didn't testify of himself, but another. That's why he was a burning and shining light. He did not ever, that we know of, other than maybe when he was in prison, you know, questioning, you know, well, da-da-da-da, but he still wasn't saying, you know, I'm what it's about. I'm it, you know, or what I'm doing is more important. When a good example of that is when his own people came to him and said, hey, Jesus and his disciples are doing more than us now. They're even doing the stuff that was our stuff. You're the Baptist. They're not the Baptist. They're the Christ. We're the Baptist, you know? And just all in, you know, fear and terror that we're not going to be seen or known or acknowledged or have a place within at the table. I think the Holy Spirit helps me to bring wording here. So a place at the table. You know, I'm not asking the head of the table. That's Jesus. I just want a place at the table. And John went, hey, I told you that I am not him, that he is the one that I'm here, burning and shining light. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But he's still talking about the witness of John the Baptist, the one that he said, I don't receive witness from men. That's their job. That's his job. If he wants to do that, but I'm not going to go, you know, talk John the Baptist into doing that. I'm not. I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to be with this Spirit. So, verse 36. So now Jesus is going to kind of move along, all right? But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given to me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Okay. Well, what is this witness? What is this witness that the Father sent him to do and he's going to do? That they are both so extremely unselfish. They are so deeply unselfish. Okay, well, you know, that's God. That's the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God. We say, well, I'm a Christian. The kingdom of God, folks, have you ever met a Christian that was like, really, you felt like, gosh, they're off from the Lord. Stop looking at me like that. All right. But it's kind of like Jesus is saying, but not just the works, but the Father himself. The Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. The Father himself. This, okay, come on. You know, we don't need a promoter. You know, in the world, there's a whole lot of promotion going on. We don't need a promoter. We have the Father. Please, someone. We have the Father. But if we promote ourselves, he's not going to do it, is he? Neither will Jesus, neither will the Holy Spirit, because that's breaking the Godhead or breaching the Godhead. Stop thinking that he's going to do that for you when you're doing the opposite. Hello? Yes. It's been a while since I've said this. Still glad I'm preaching today? All right. Let's see, where was it? Verse 37, let's finish up. But the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Now listen to this. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Let's start with the verse 38, the A part of that, the beginning. You have not his, you have neither heard his voice at any time or seen his shape. Now, I have read things other than this and, you know, some other area that somebody was writing about. And they said, well, you know, I mean, they made it so general. It was like, well, we, none of us have seen nor heard his voice. So, da-da-da-da. And he was trying to make a point from that. But Jesus here is not talking to the whole world. He's talking to the people in front of him that are doing this particular thing of self-exalting. And I'll really wrap that up and show it when we get through. He's talking to them because how many people in the Bible do you know that heard God's voice, that saw God? Bunches and bunches and bunches. So he's not talking to, well, none of us know that. So we won't know that until we meet God in heaven. No. He's talking to you. You know who I'm meaning when I say you? He's talking to you who self-promote, who are doing this to get ahead, to be seen, to be acknowledged greater. So, and who does this sound like? Satan. It's exactly what he did. That's where the breach came from. That very thing. That was it. Okay? So, so then he says, and you have not his word abiding in you. So that's where I wrote, throughout the entire Bible, there are plenty who have heard his voice. All right, so now to our favorite verse in John chapter 5, verse 39. Yay, okay. All right, so Jesus says, search the scriptures. Now, in truth, you know, and I know, and I've known for a long, many, 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 many years, that the Greek here is really saying, you do search the scriptures. It is saying that. Now, should we search the scriptures?
Yes.
Yes. And then he could say to us, you do search the scriptures, but. All right. So you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. But you will not come to me that you might have life. Okay, now this is interesting. Just those verses, and don't look beyond it yet, just that verse and verse 39 and 40, he's talking about coming to him about life, right? Okay, so let's read it again. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men. This is the life. It's the life that doesn't receive honor from men. Okay, let me ask you this. And I had to go through this. Probably a lot, but certainly one big time in my life. Do you think you could exist with nobody honoring you except God? Do you think you'd be okay with that? Okay. Oh, none of you. Not really. It's the only way it's supposed to be. Now, wait a minute. Let me say this. Others can declare you. Amen? Because that's what the Holy Spirit did to Jesus, and that's what Jesus did to the Father. Declared someone else. But that was still within the Godhead, but that's how they operate, and that's how he wants us to operate. And this is the life that he wants us to have, not eternal life so that we never go to hell. By the way, everybody, if you will, in their understanding of eternal life, is really everlasting life, and that means it had a beginning, but there's no end. And they call that eternal life. That's what they think eternal life is. Having a beginning, I was born, got born again, and now I live forever in heaven. But everybody's going to live forever. Just depends on where you live it. You ever think of that? All right. So, he says, I receive not honor from men, but I know you. See, John 5:39 is like Jesus saying certain things that you don't know the application to, and you might misread, but now he is running, like running to the beach to jump into the ocean of the truth of God. The truth of God. He's ready to go now. All right? So, I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. And the love of God has nothing to do with good feelings or being lovey-dovey, or do you hug or not hug, you know, or do you, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Are you affectionate? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. When John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he means in this manner. That's the true Greek and Spanish, by the way, that for God, in this manner, loved the world that he gave himself. Self-giving is the love of God. Oh, baby, see, he didn't say the love of my Father. Or the love of the Spirit in that sense, he's trying to get something across here. Jesus is facing something. He's facing a crowd that are of another mind, and it's bad. It's not good. And he is trying to save them. Remember those words were within these things here? Okay, so let's go on then. So he says... Well, I want to read that again then. Verse 41, I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Now listen to verse 43. I am come in my Father's name. Oh, man, it's undeniable. This is undeniable what the theme is and what he's trying to get across. And he's not trying to get across, well, you're a Bible searcher and all you're thinking about is how long you're going to live throughout all eternity, but you should be realizing that the life is Jesus and that we're going to have Jesus and we're going to have Jesus' life. Well, Jesus' life is this, and there's more proofs coming in this chapter. There's more proofs that that's exactly what this is about. Okay? So, I am come in my Father's name and you receive me not. You see how pointed this is? If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. All right. So you got a real problem here. Okay? You got the problem of people coming in their own name. Now let's really, really get honest for a moment. Can we do that? Is it possible that much of Christianity is built on self-promotion? Could that be true? Okay. Well, okay, now let's do it again. Is it possible that much of Christianity doesn't see it as self-promotion? They see it as I'm trying to promote the Lord. But why do they get upset when nobody receives their ministry? Did you hear it? That one came straight from the Lord. That ain't in my notes. Then why did you get upset when somebody didn't receive or acknowledge or be head over heels about your ministry? Okay, so if another come in his own name, him you will receive. Okay, so see, there's an ongoing, it's like an unholy trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they have this movement within themselves. Well, this spirit of self-exaltation has those that will receive them and go, yeah, you know, and then they'll exalt themselves, and then well, there's going to be this give and take of flesh, no, of the breach that was the first thing that the devil did that was said, I will be like the Most High God. I will sit in his throne. I will rule heaven. I will, you know, okay. Why? Because you didn't receive my ministry. Some area of self-pity. So, verse 44, this is Jesus speaking. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? All right. Now, may I take a second to just get a little sip here? You say, well, how does that work? Well, it works like the Godhead, first of all. But God knows our heart, right? It is... What is it? Exceedingly sinful? What it has? Deceitfully wicked. God knows our heart. That's Bible. Bible. Deceitfully wicked. Okay. So you throw deceit in there, and we're going to look good. We're not going to look wicked. If you throw deceit in there, self-deception is mentioned more in the Bible than the devil deceiving, and he's a big deceiver. But so you got this flow that's going on with God, and you have another flow that's going on that's kind of a patting each other on the back, and yeah, you're really good, and you're doing great, and you know, everything, and well, you're doing great too, and you know, anyway, I don't even want to get into all that. I don't want to think about all that not, and seek not. This has to do with seeking. This has to do with your heart. And seek not the honor that comes from God only. All right. So you know the story. Most of you know the story. Years ago, the Lord was giving me stuff, and I was writing, they were little booklets, really. But I was, well, no, some of them were books. And they were from the Lord. And I knew they were from the Lord. And so I brought one of them to JW. I had several. And I asked him to read it. And he said, well, you know, yeah. He said, you can't use it. And I said, why? And he said, because, you know, you're going to grow more. And when you do, you know, this will look foolish and, you know, to be honest with you, we still use the books. I mean, there's a certain amount of truth to that because there is maturity. But basically, he said, you know, I don't want any of your literature. And, you know, I'd like to say that was fine and I just went on, but it like a dagger to my heart. And so, you know, I put them on the shelf up there. And so after a little while, I tried to find people outside of the church, because I worked for Denton State School, who could type. Back then you had typewriters and telephone like. And every person, this is honest truth, I'm not lying, every person I asked to do it, their typewriter would break down. And after a while, after about 10 typewriters, I went, maybe the Lord's trying to not just talk to me, correct me. Randy, you're pushing your own agenda. You're pushing your own ministry. You're pushing your own honor. You're trying to be seen. You're trying to be heard. You're trying to be something. And of course, I remember that in my heart, I said something like, but I'm just trying to get your word out. I really am. He said, yeah, but it's so mixed in with this other that it's like rotten fruit. It's so mixed in with all this other junk of, you know. I don't remember if he said it to me or the similar thought came, but if this is really for the Lord, then why am I so upset that it's not going anywhere? I shouldn't be so upset in me the way I was upset. I should be broken for the Lord, you know. And there's that deceitfully wicked thing right there. There it is. Deceitfully wicked that's deceived itself into thinking, well, you know, I'm just working with the Lord, trying to do all this stuff, and he thinks just one way. He thinks one way. He thinks you seek not the honor that cometh from God only. So how does that work? Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean that God will be the only one who promotes you, but promotion cometh neither from the north or south or east or west or whatever, da 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 da. It comes from the Lord. But, you know, he can have Joshua come along and help Moses or whatever. He can have Elijah help Elijah. Elisha help Elijah. He can have, you know, it's different. But even in that, it's almost like you have to have your hands off of it. And then there's that frustration again. There's the frustration again. Well, you need to hurry up, or you need to get this thing moving or something. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? Anybody?
Yes,
am I the only one? And, after a while when you realize all the stuff and all the times he tried to intervene to just be there for you and get you off of that track and get with him, and you didn't go because you're still, you know, it really does make you sad. It makes you extremely sad. And in a certain sense, you just feel like, I know this is going to sound weird, but you feel like what you've done is a waste of time because it was done in the wrong spirit. And that hurts. And I believe that all he really wants is a right spirit. Now, we may define that in a whole bunch of different ways, but John 5 is defining it pretty sharp, and we still haven't got to the sharpest scriptures yet. All right. So, but I do love verse 44 with Jesus saying, how can you believe? What? I don't even know if you're really believing correctly. If you're so full of that. Self-promotion. It's like he knows what happened. He was there for the breach. What Satan did. All right. So up earlier in verse 38, he's right here. He's asking how. And he answers his own question. You have not his word abiding in you. There's no logic of God in you. You don't understand the logic of God. You don't have it working. Or you understand it, but it doesn't work in you because it's not a certain set of theorems and teachings and pithy sayings. And thank you, Mallory, for that little phrase. And stuff like that. Pithy sayings. That's what you put on one of my little booklets. Anyway. Which I haven't seen since. just kidding. That's, anybody ever remember me saying, let's take all of my stuff, put it in a big pile, and I'll burn it all? I don't know if you ever believed me on that. Every bit of it. every bit of it. I'm not afraid of that at all. In fact, what I said, and I still feel it, is that I'll dance around the fire. All right. No logic of God. You have not the word, and the word here is logos, the logic of God. Abiding where? In you. This can't be a teaching. Or it can be, but it shouldn't be a teaching. Because it doesn't work by being just a teaching. It has to be a fellowship. A fellowship. It's the only word that came to my mind, and I think it's right. Because it's a fellowship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Called the triune God. Anyway, so I wrote down, why can't they hear? Jesus says, you search the scriptures, but you misread them. Okay, then you search for life, but you misread the life. It doesn't do any good to say I'm reading the Bible and I'm getting a lot out of it if you're misreading it all the time. Okay? For eternal life, you're misreading it for life based on eternal life, but that makes you misread the scriptures. But they won't come to his life, or they won't come to him as life. Now, again, if you're going to use John 5, about John 5:39 and on here, and refer to the life, I'm telling you, it's not the basic way that I have, if you will, taught you. You should search the scriptures and find out if what I'm teaching is right or not, but it is about the Spirit, as we shall move along and see. All right. So, you won't come to him as the life. What kind of life is he talking about? All right, so here we go. He's already described it to us. Yes, he did within the context of what we've read already, but he better described it just prior, within the context of it. So let's have a little look at that. This is John 5, verse 30 and 31. So we're only talking a few verses up. And Jesus says this, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, folks, we should take that extremely, extremely seriously, because that's Jesus speaking. And it's almost like, well, first thing we should do, is repent over our depiction of the life that he was trying to describe. You won't come to me that you might have life. And realize it's this. When we can say, I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just only because I seek not my own will, but that the will of the Father that sent me. Because I know that if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Okay. All right. Because if we don't get this, then we're going to be the ones on the other end of Jesus' conversation here. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're gonna be that. We are going to be that. We may already be that, but he's, just like he's reaching out to them, guess what? He is. And remember that we started with Jonah? You say, where's Jonah? Here's Jonah. Here he is. We can freak out or get upset or whatever, or, you know, or we can be like God and repent for whatever we felt we did wrong and receive them. receive the truth as it is in Jesus. So, so Jesus says that he's not just looking for honor. Let's see. Back over there in the other scriptures when he spoke of that. I received not honor from men. Remember when he said that? Jesus says he is not just looking for honor on any basis. He's not looking for honor on any basis from men who honor him on a wrong basis. Come on. This is talking about giving right honor, not unholy honor, even if it's not unholy in our minds. It's like the extreme unholiness in his mind after knowing that the breach, as he sees it, an enemy hath done this, and you're part of it. So, he would take it, honor. He would take it if another, and that's capitalized, and God in parenthesis, he would take it if another, God, gave it out of a self-giving love instead of giving to get points. Self-giving love. Self-forgetting love. Self-losing love. All of that's the Godhead, and that's the kingdom. And everything else is us playing at church. I mean, it is. It is. It really is. Okay? So, and then he says, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. So I'm going to reread verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Okay. How about if somebody comes in their own name, you don't receive them? Well, what if they get mad? I mean, come on, pastor. I'm not a pastor. I'm a janitor. Cleaning up your messes. If they get, of course they're going to get mad. They can't help it because they are on a wrong basis. And it'll always go that way. So let's coddle the enemy that hath done this. No, we're not going to do it. We're going to be with the Lord. We love the Lord. And we're going to prove it by letting him be formed in us in a way that pleases him, that gives honor to him in a way that he loves.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, sorry, not too many hallelujahs. Still got a little bit left. In verse 43, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another come in his own name, him you will receive. In verse 43, Jesus explains that he operates on that same basis as the Father. They're of one. They're of one kind. And they're looking for one after their kind. Praise the Lord. So I wrote down, it is reciprocal. Meaning, give and take. Give and flow together. Flow, I'll bless you. It's not even, I'll bless you. It's not this. I'll bless you. And you make sure that you give equal back to me to bless me. It is love. You just love. You just love. Well, they're not giving back. Well, then they're not flowing with the Godhead. You know, you're not going to change that. And besides, why are you whining? Are you one of them? I mean, that's just being real. I'm just being real, folks. So, it's reciprocal. In other words, he won't come in his own name. That's how love operates. But how the world operates is that if a person comes in their own name, then these standing before Jesus, who have never heard the voice of the triune God, they will not receive them. They'll receive the ones that declare themselves, but they won't receive the ones who won't. They won't even notice it. They'll think you're an idiot because, well, I'll take all the glory then. You know, I was thinking the other day about the taking the lower seat. I saw it as a car, and I thought, you know, was a lot of people take the lower seat and they become a backseat driver. And then I thought, then you need to get in the trunk, or you can't get to anything. In verse 44, Jesus asked them a question. How can you believe which receive honor one of another? I mean, this is serious stuff with the Lord. He's questioning if we really believe because we've misread believing. There's a lot of misreading in John 5. I hope y'all are noticing that. A lot. And everything almost is off, and Jesus is coming in there and correcting it with this spirit. So the honor that will come from God to the Lamb will come to him because Jesus didn't come for personal honor, but to honor another to his own loss. Okay. Well, that's God love right there. To your own loss. Well, let me tell you, anybody that's pro-self or misunderstands the sufferings of Christ or has been breached, they're not gonna get this. How is it that you don't get this? Because you have not the love of God abiding in you. Because you have not the word abiding in you, the logic of God. That's what Jesus said. So I'm going to read that again. The honor that will come from God to the Lamb will come to him because Jesus didn't come for personal honor, but to honor another to his own loss. And then just a little portion out of Corinthians. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. He's figured it out, hasn't he? He goes, I am not going to do that. That would be so wrong and so out of order with the order of God. I will not do that. And then he says, lest I should be exalted above measure. So I'm reading again John 5, 30 through 31, Jesus talking, I can of my own self do nothing as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. And here's why. He's not saying, well, I know because I'm a holy man of God, my judgment is just. He's not doing that. He's not basing it on some religion. He's basing it on because I seek not my own will. That doesn't have to do any. That does not have to do anything with religion. It can have to do only with Christ in you, the hope of glory. You say, "Well, isn't that religion?" I don't know. Y'all have heard me say stuff, and it shocks people. So I'll try to spare you a little bit, especially since we've only got a short minute here. I wrote, you are not going to change if your opinion of yourself or ministry is that it is not being exalted yet. Not like it should, because that's the fall. That's the breach. That's Satan's problem with God. Is that your problem with God? Okay. No, I don't. Yes, I will. You are not going to change if your opinion of yourself or ministry is that it is not being exalted yet, not like it should be. Not like it should be. Okay? And then finally, just a couple of phrases here. You are not, how can you believe in the Lamb which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes only from God? If another shall come in his own name, come in his own name, him you will receive. All right, so that's good timing. We made it, and that's the end of this semester's Jonah. And if you, again, if you questioning, well, how does this, what does this have to do with Jonah? Go back to the beginning of the class, and you'll see ugliness. And that's what Jesus was seeing in John 5 with those people, just ugliness. And and then for those of you who weren't in here when I first started, I decided tonight we would cover a bunch of classes. We'll go all the way back to 1 Peter. We'll cover fellowship in his sufferings. We'll cover the breach. We'll cover the pro-self. We'll just hit it all tonight. And Jesus did it. I mean, it's like, whoo, good job, Lord. Good job. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we just love you, and we love your Son, and we love the Holy Spirit. And when we say we love you, we want to say we're not talking about feelings. We're talking about wanting to be in that flow with you, to be after your likeness and be after your kind and in your image, so that we can love you by sacrificing ourselves, by giving ourselves, so that you might gain, so that your heart might be blessed instead of you always blessing our heart. And Father, we just ask for the pressure of the Holy Spirit to bring to bear what Jesus was trying to communicate to us. We don't want to be those people that he was talking to there. We want to be of your Son, out from the Lamb. And we want to be able to shove everything back and out of the way and just put it all into your hands while we give ourselves to pouring out for others. What a beautiful thing. Thank you for calling us to such a beautiful, beautiful desire. Only you could call us to that, and only you can bring it to pass, but it's not that far off, because you dwell in us, Holy Spirit, because you dwell in us, Jesus, and because, Father, you will father us to the nth degree if we will follow you and follow your word and not just read to misread, but to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So we thank you. We love you, and we look forward to next semester in Jonah to finish that out. Father, I do believe we will finish it next semester. But oh, Father, oh, even today, the word, the heart, I know it's your heart and nobody can see it. I will misread it every time, but then when you open it up, I am in awe of you. We are in awe of you when you do that and show and talk to us about the way things really are and talk to us about your heart and why things are written that way. You're amazing. You're amazing. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. And what a counselor. What a mighty Lamb you are. Hallelujah. What a mighty Lamb, mighty God. And we just lay these things before you, looking longingly to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.